back to Unfeigned Christianity, where we seek to help Christians find culturally aware, biblically nuanced, and Jesus-embodying responses to current day issues. Over the next 3 episodes, I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. We've had a lot of interviews and some great conversations, some great feedback y'all have given, and I gave you that lengthy over three hours episode responding to some of that feedback. I love that interaction. I love the interviews that I get to do, the people I get to talk with through this podcast. However, for the next 3 episodes, I'm gonna step back a little bit and do some teaching. This is not something I've done a lot of through this medium on the podcast, but something that I am increasingly passionate about, and the more people I get to know and the more young adults I get to interact with, I realize this is a frequent struggle and thing that people are processing. And that is just a mixture of 2 things. It frames itself in a couple of different ways. One is a lack of clarity about their purpose in life and what they're doing, and it's somewhat different because we're a bit on the tail end of a movement that was all about figure out your passion, like what are your dreams and your goals, and some of us have done that and explored that. We've done all the spiritual gift profiling, we've done all the personality testing, the DIS test, the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs, you know, the one with all the different letters. We've done all of that, and we're still kind of, it's like, that's all great, but that doesn't really help me. Or maybe we don't even know like what our passions are. If you're like me, you're kind of at 18 years old, 20 years old, and you're becoming an adult, maybe you're even mid-20s or 30, and you're like, I want to follow Jesus. I don't really know like what my purpose in life is. I have a job, I do a day job, but I don't know exactly like, you know, how is that particularly participating in the work of Jesus? Or maybe I don't even necessarily enjoy it, but I don't really know what else I do. And there's a whole bunch of stuff we could be wrestling with, kind of a season of disillusionment. But I don't want to paint a super dark picture, because I think a lot of people are going through life just fine. But maybe there is really disillusionment. Maybe it's just more, you know, I don't sense a deeper purpose that like transcends everything that I do. And for the most part, that's fine. That's okay. I've got good friends. I've got a good church community, but there is kind of this longing to know more, like what else can I do and offer the world? So on one hand, I'm painting this picture of people who want something like, what is my purpose in life? But don't give me this pursue your dreams and passions. Don't give me a personality test, as helpful as those are sometimes, because we can create these boxes that like, oh, you got to figure out your dreams. And some of us are like, well, I don't know what my dreams are, or I dream of doing all kinds of things. And so that creates confusion. Or we can do these profiles and testing. Well, then it's like, then we end up arguing with the profile and test. No, that's not exactly like me. And not to mention the fact that like, really, do we just limit ourselves to whatever some test says we are or whatever our dreams are? I mean, what if God wants me to do something that I'm not necessarily dreaming about right now? There's kind of this yearning, this longing for something more. And kind of with that, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people who want to more of their faith. They want a good and meaningful relationship with Jesus, but they're sort of struggling. Maybe it has to do with things that have happened in life. Maybe it has to do with tragedies that have taken place, painful losses that have happened, whether that's someone actually dying, or maybe it's just a loss of a relationship, or church trauma, or a trauma you experience in family. But sometimes I don't think it necessarily has to be that super negative thing that causes us to want more and to kind of be struggling in our relationship with God. Like sometimes it's just that, I don't feel close to God, and I'm not sure why I feel close to God. Some of us may have particular sins that we can point to and be like, I've really been struggling with pornography, or I've really been struggling with envy or bitterness or whatever. Some of us might not. Like, I'm 32 years old at the time of this recording. I'm guessing most of y'all are somewhere around that, give or take a decade, maybe even older. And newsflash, we're gonna wake up in life and not feel like super riveted close to God all the time. And it's not necessarily because we've been involved in any particular sin. It's not necessarily because we've been hurt dramatically from outside people. It could involve that. My whole point is that there's this desire to be closer to God, and yet a struggle in our relationship with God at times. Sometimes that's a major, some caused by something major, sometimes it's not. But what do we do? How do we move closer to God? How do we have a meaningful relationship with God? How do we, and this is what I think we're all really getting at, and largely, again, just to clarify my audience, I'm talking about people who would turn on a podcast like Unfeigned Christianity, people who want to follow Jesus, who are interested in the church, in his work. If I'm evangelizing, if I'm talking to someone who doesn't really care about Jesus, I'm talking about something else right now. If I'm talking about somebody who's just like, they're okay with where they're at in the church right now, and they're fine with their tradition or whatever, I'm going to have a different conversation. But I'm assuming I'm talking to people who want to follow Jesus, who want a church vibrant, who look like him, who are engaging the world effectively, and yet looking around at what is so frequent, whether it's in conservative settings or more liberal settings, it just kind of seems like either we have like a super rigid faith and life expectations, and then they end up disappointing, or we're so shallow and we excuse any sort of expectations that seem to be put forth in scripture that we end up kind of at some point wondering, well, what's the point of it all? And we're looking around and we're seeing, for lack of better comparisons, we could talk about we're seeing the conservative side, we're seeing the liberal or progressive side, and we're not really drawn to either one. And we're wondering, so what is there? What is there in life? What is there to the Christian faith? Are these the only two options we have? And there's kind of this internal intuition, I think, for many of us that fall in this place that, no, there's a lot more, but we just might not know what it is. Have you been blessed by the work of Unfeigned Christianity? If so, I invite you to go deeper by becoming a member of Unfeigned Christianity on Patreon. All of our work is designed to help Christians find culturally aware, biblically nuanced, and Jesus-embodying responses to current-day issues. And we could not do it without the support of our members. As a part of the membership, you get to go deeper into sorting through what does it look like to faithfully embody Jesus in a world and in our culture and time. There are three main tiers of membership. If you become an advanced member, which is the middle tier, I will send you a free copy of Lori and Matt Krieg's book, An Impossible Marriage. This is the best marriage book I've read. If you become an advanced member this month, I'll send you a free copy. Now, here's a really good deal. When you do an annual membership, you get 16% off. If you'd like to see more details, just visit asherwhitmer.com/member. What if you could have a relationship with Jesus that is healthy? Yes, there are ups and downs, but you're not doing things because you're dependent on a good relationship with Jesus. Oh, I got to get up at a certain time every day. I got to read so much scripture, spend so much time in prayer, because that's how I have a good relationship with Jesus. When I don't get that in, then I feel kind of miserable because I didn't get that in. What if you could have a relationship with Jesus where it just flows? Some days you wake up the night was late before, or you have complications and your schedule is just kind of out of whack, and you don't get the time in prayer that you desire first thing in the morning, but it doesn't derail your day. You continue to walk through it with God. What if you had a relationship with Jesus that you sensed a deep, calm confidence in your purpose? It's not heroism. It's not like, I'm going to be this great missionary, or I'm going to do this great thing for God or whatever, but you just know that you are actively involved in work, in relationships, in ministry that allow you to offer your story, your experiences, what God is speaking to you through His Holy Spirit, allow you to offer the gift that God has given you when He gave you His Holy Spirit in such a way that you know it's benefiting people around you and it's helping them. And you're helping them process their life and their journey together. It's not, I mean, maybe there's some few among us who become well-known heroes. Like, I'm not trying to say that can't be, but I'm suggesting that perhaps we're on the tail end of a time in history where that was kind of the thing. We're going to change the world. We're going to do something great for God. And we're a bit exhausted of that because we realize actually few of us do big, great things. And we also live in a time where so many who seem to be doing big, great things turn out to have been frauds in one degree or another. What if it's possible to just have a calm assurance of your purpose? Whether you're doing things like I'm doing right now and having a podcast or teaching or involved in active formal discipleship ministry like preaching or Bible studies or teaching at a Bible college. Like, maybe it's that. Or maybe you're working as a mechanic. Maybe you're teaching school. You're serving as a nurse. You're a stay-at-home mom. You're a farmer. But you knew where you fit in, how you were participating in God's story, the frustrations you dealt with, how they either work for good in your own life or the life of people around, or like how they are a natural part of the particular calling that you've been called into, or at least the natural phase of the journey, the story that you're a part of right now. What if it was possible to have that kind of relationship with God? You see, I think a lot of people long for that. But I think many of us struggle with it and don't have it. And I think the reason for that is because the medium that we've been told is the primary way in which you experience God has been kind of confusing to us. I'm talking about the Bible. Like, whether or not we realize it, post-Reformation, which was 500 years ago, so anybody listening to this right now or in the future is going to be clearly post-Reformation, but we have had emphasized for us the importance and the value of the Bible as it pertains to relating and interacting with God. And so we wake up to read the Bible. You go to church and you have at least 40 minutes of hearing teaching from the Bible. And that's kind of what it looks like to engage God. Oh yeah, there's also prayer. We should pray, right? And maybe we'll add like fellowship with each other. That's kind of the extent of it for the most part. And I think there's a lot of people reevaluating that. Is that actually true? Is that actually even biblical? Like, according to scripture, do we get that as the primary ways in which we engage God? But I would suggest to you that the reason we struggle with experiencing God or feeling close to God at the risk of making it about feelings, because the feelings will be up and down throughout a relationship with God. But part of why we struggle to have this flowing relationship with God and experience in life of a deep assurance of our purpose is because we engage the medium, the Bible, in a way that it was never intended to be engaged with. You see, many of us approach Scripture as though it's a reference book for life. We come to it thinking that it is intended, its intention is to answer all of our theological questions about life. Or maybe it's intended to give us moral compass. It helps us know how to navigate all the more moral and ethical issues we will face in life. Or we think that it is all about inspiring us for the day. And so we sit down and expect to get some warm, fuzzy feeling in what we read. And sometimes we don't. Huge chunks of the Bible don't ever really give that feeling. Some of it's like, okay, what are all these laws for? What are these details of the tabernacle? What's the point of that? Or, you know, I don't get this story of, you know, this man of God who has this woman who's abused, and then she's left for dead, and he cuts her up and sends her out to all the people of Israel. Like, that just doesn't make sense. How is that to inspire me for the day? And so we tend to gravitate then to reading things like Psalms or just easy parts of the New Testament that kind of help us give something practical and tangible for life. And just so we're clear, wanting answers to questions about God or theology, wanting direction for sorting through ethical issues, and wanting inspiration and a connection with our Creator are good intuitions. They are good desires. And the Bible does that for us. But that is not its sole intention. And when we treat it like a reference book, we only come to it when we have an ethical problem or a decision to make. We only come to it when we have questions about God or about life. We only come to it when we're wanting to be inspired for the day. We will have a jarring encounter with it. Maybe it'll simply be a boring encounter with it. It's sort of like as if you took a cookbook and you went shopping with it, and you assume the cookbook is a shopping list. And so you're going through the aisles, and somehow I got to find a quarter spoon of salt, teaspoon of salt. Can tell how much I cook. You don't see in the store a quarter teaspoon of salt anywhere, right? Salt isn't sold like that. And so it will be a frustrating experience. You'll go through the cookbook, and there's going to be a page of just a backstory to what led to this recipe and whose grandma introduced it and what year it was and where they lived. And you're going to wonder, what's the point? Like, what's the point of all that? I don't get it. I'm just trying to get ingredients at the store. I got to get out of here before the store closes. Got to check out. There's a big, long line. It's going to be a frustrating experience for you because a cookbook is not intended to be a shopping list. And in the same way, the Bible was not intended to be a reference book. The Bible is a story. It's the story of God. It's the story of God and his creation. The story of man and what the purpose of man is in creation and what God is doing through man and creation. It gives us answers to theological questions. It helps us navigate ethical issues. It inspires us every day. But it doesn't do it through simply sitting down, opening up, and reading a passage for a half hour or whatever. That's not how the Bible is intended to answer our questions or inspire us for the day. And yet so many of us engage with God through the Bible in that approach and in that posture. And so the Bible doesn't work like we thought it should. I'm not inspired for the day. Or you know what? The more I read this, the more I'm kind of muddled as to, you know, how exactly I should navigate this issue. Or maybe the Bible doesn't address the issue at all. And then the issue of theological questions. How do I know there's so many different biblical interpretations? How do I know who's right or who's wrong? Well, what if that's actually not the point of the Bible? So we're engaging with it in that way, and it's not working for us. And because that's the primary way we engage God, it becomes like this blocker, and we end up getting slightly disillusioned with God, or we're just like, okay, I just want Jesus, and I'll let other people smarter than I deal with the Bible. I love Jesus, that's all I know. But then with that, we can kind of gravitate into this unhealthy space of weird ideas or pontifications about life and God and all of that because we're not engaging Scripture. And even more than that, we struggle, the farther removed we get from the story, we struggle to see where we fit into it. And that has to do with purpose. This sense of knowing why we were born. Why, after God saves us through Jesus Christ, why don't we just zoom and go to heaven? Like, what's the purpose of people staying in this corrupted world? Even though Jesus has done the work, he is the victor. Have you ever thought of that? Like, how many of you have had that question? Did you know the story of Scripture reveals answers and direction for why? Why we're not zoomed away to heaven the moment we're saved? Or, you know, you'd think if God is overly concerned about conversion ratings, you'd think that the moment somebody professes faith in him, he'd just strike them dead and they'd go to heaven, right? Because so many of us struggle with incredible doubts after expressing faith in Jesus. You don't have doubt before, right? The very existence of doubt means that there's a certain level of faith, or at least wanting faith. So why does God let us wander in our doubts at times? The Bible is not a reference book to look up, okay, on page 385, it has this answer for doubt. But the Bible is a story. And as we immerse ourselves in the story, we discover its message. And the message is fully culminated in Jesus Christ. Hey friends, this podcast is brought to you in partnership with the Dwell app. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Dwell Audio Bible app, but this app is phenomenal. It's changed my life in several different ways. As a Bible college student, I do tremendous amounts of Bible reading throughout the semester, more than I normally do. And I'm not a fast reader. And so one of the ways that I have been able to keep on top of the Bible reading is through the Dwell app. One of the things I really like about it is there's very meditative, reflective music played in the background of the reader. So it's not dramatized. Some audio Bible apps are dramatized, and that's a little, I don't know, not my cup of tea. But it's a very calming and just peaceful way of having the Bible read to you. There's at least 15, I think there's close to 30 by now, different voices that you can choose from. There's many different translations you can choose from. For the ESV, I think there's maybe two or three voices, if that makes sense. But there's over 15 voices for sure. And so you can have a female voice, you can have a male voice, you can have a British accent, you can have an American accent, you can have a Canadian accent, well, I like the British accent, so I listen to the Bible in the British accent, and it's been a really good way to keep on top of my homework. But also, I have found sometimes I'll be listening to audio Bible as I commute someplace or as I'm doing some other work, or even in the morning. Sometimes it's hard to wake up, you're tired, And to sit down and read, it literally feels like an intellectual exercise. It's like school, like starting your day with school. And I love learning things, but I don't do well at starting my day with school. And so when you wake up and you're tired, but you want to meditate on the Word of God, to just put in my AirPods and listen to the Dwell app is an incredible way to start my morning, just in peaceful worship, meditation. I hear things differently when I hear it being read than when I read it. I personally think you should read and hear it both, but that's one thing I like about audio Bible is different things stick out that didn't stand out before. I'll listen to it as I'm going on a run or something, and I can't say enough good about the Dwell app. And so if you would like to take your meditation, your Bible reading to another level, you can also, if you're not able to sleep at night, you can put in your AirPods and listen to the scripture being read and fall asleep that way. I've used that at times as well. But you can start for free. There's a link in the description below, or you can go ahead and purchase the annual plan, which I have, and it's very much worth it, just in the way, a couple things, the way it helps me meditate and kind of a fresh view, a fresh experience with scripture, and then also the way it helps me keep on top of my homework. It's been very helpful for me.
The whole goal of this story is to reveal Jesus to us and for us to gain his wisdom and insight that will then apply as we navigate through other parts of life. And so if you desire a relationship with God that flows on good days, on bad days, if you desire a deep sense of purpose, that even when you face tough decisions and you don't know which way to go, you have a rock solid assurance of your purpose in life, if that's your desire, I suggest to you the first step in that process is getting to know the story, getting to know God's story. Understanding God's story doesn't remove disillusionment from life, but it does give us guidance and greater guidance for processing difficult decisions. It helps us, gives us something sure to come back to when we're uncertain about what's real around us. In the next video, we're going to dive into that story and open it up so we can see what it is and where we fit into it today. Because this isn't just something in the past. Sometimes we treat the Old Testament as though that was then, that was a totally different period. God worked and did things in a different way. And now then there was Jesus in the New Testament, but now we live now and it's totally different. But the reality is it's all a part of the same story. And I would like to show you that so you can see it. As I have taught other people about this, the number one feedback that I get is that the Bible is coming alive to them. They never saw it, how it's all connected before. And so their engagement with Scripture is just more fulfilling, period. But ultimately, their engagement with God is more meaningful because they're seeing how this isn't just a set of rules and regulations, but it's actually a larger picture, a larger story that we all fit into. And then in the third episode on this, we're going to look at different questions you guys have. If you have questions from this episode or from the next one, send them in. And I would love to hear your feedback. I would love to take some time and answer the questions. But one of the common questions is, so what does that look like today, if we're in the middle of a story, how do we navigate these certain issues? And so we'll look at some of those issues then as well. I think one of the saddest things to me is when Christians, people who profess to walk with God, don't have a relationship with God, but are rather trying to attain a relationship with God. Did you know that
He's with you right now. Like, I have no clue why you're listening to this episode, what caused you to turn on. If you're just soaking up, you want to learn so much, God is with you. Maybe you're in a super busy season of life and you've got one earbud in and you're listening to this right now because you've kind of enjoyed Asher's podcast over the last little while or whatever, and you have noise. Maybe you're a mom cooking, or maybe you're a dad working, mowing the lawn or something, and you're just trying to enjoy taking in content and podcasts and stuff as you're doing things, trying to, somewhat have upbuilding, but also just kind of need a noise blocker too. Maybe you're someone really struggling right now and you wake up and you really struggle to even acknowledge God, other than the fact that you do go to church, or you do, when people ask, call yourself a Christian. It's sad to me when we go through those seasons, because in those moments, God is there and he's with you. And he's not standing there like, get your act together. No. Just like all stories, like the story of God has themes that ebb and flow throughout it. There are protagonists and antagonists. There's conflict interwoven throughout it. There are main plots and subplots. And there are multiple subplots that are affecting the main plot and the main character. And that's how life is. We connect with stories, I would suggest, because we are made a part of a story. God didn't just make creation to just then let it happen. He made it because he's telling something through it. And he's telling something through you and through your story and everything that has happened to it, to you. And if you would like greater clarity on what is that? What is God's story? How do I fit? If you would like to discover God at a whole new level, and be a part of the few and maybe not so few people who desire just kind of, not fancy heroism, just steady faithfulness, a steady confident assurance that we know God and we're walking with God, even when there's chaotic events and confusing questions and difficult decisions. Then I invite you to join me series of episodes as we explore God's story together. Unfeigned Christianity is brought to you by our members at Patreon. As a part of the membership program, you receive 2 deep dive essays a month and expanded versions of all our podcast interviews. If you would like to become a member, visit www.asherwhitmer.com/member. Unfeigned Christianity podcast is also a part of 2 networks, the Restorative Faith Collective, where we have conversations about race, perspectives, and relationships in an Anabaptist context. To learn about more articles and podcasts, visit www.restorativefaithcollective.org. The second network is the Kingdom Outpost, where we talk about what it looks like to live as Jesus's nation in today's world. For more podcasts and articles, visit kingdomoutpost.org. Thanks for listening.